Hey TYT, my name is Nomi Konst. We are here today to talk about climate justice and all of the work that is being done to fight off climate change. But specifically, there's all these new strategies coming from activists and scientists to really push through any blocks that are happening at the government level. And one area in particular is the divestment movement. I'm sure you've heard about it, you've probably read about it. Well, New York City has divested from fossil fuels, and we have Nancy Romer, who is a professor emerita of Brooklyn College and a lifelong activist, climate activist, social justice activist, all of the above. But you are a key part of this New York divest movement in New York City, so welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here and happy to share the good news and all the work that must follow, because anytime you have a big announcement, it has to be followed by implementation, and that's what we're looking at right now.
Ah, bureaucracy.
Well, but also process, because one of the things about pension funds, but particularly public pension funds, mm-hmm. is that they're ruled by very strict regulations that want the intention is to protect the worker whose pension funds are being invested, but meanwhile it means that the pension funds move very slowly.
So before we get to pension funds, can you just describe what is divesting? What does that mean for activists, because it's so financy?
It is financy, and it's been one of the interesting things for me to learn a little bit about finance as I jumped into this area of work. Divestment means taking, and there are many kinds of divestments. Probably the best known divestment movement was against South Africa to end apartheid. Mm-hmm. So that happened in the mid 80s. Right now we're talking about divestment from fossil fuels. And in New York City, we have about $5 billion invested in fossil fuel stocks. And that's a lot of money. In the state of New York, just in the pension funds alone, we have $6 billion worth of pensions invested in fossil fuel stocks. So that's a lot of money to pull out. And it's a lot of money to then invest in renewable energy, in a range of projects that could have a big impact on the resilience of New York City, on the state, and on the world. So there's a lot at play here. And what's really important, I think, is to get union members who have their pensions invested to become active and to stand up for what they think is right. And there are two parts of this divestment process that I think is really important. You know, one is that the value of fossil fuel stocks are going down. Mm. The last 5 years, there's been a big decline in the return on fossil fuel stocks. So they're not a very good investment. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, you know, it's a hard process to pull money out of a pension fund to make those changes. It's very highly regulated to protect mm-hmm. the worker, which is great. But it means that if there's going to be a big nosedive of fossil fuel stocks, there's no way that the pension funds can move quickly on it. So they have to be proactive and do it before it becomes a disaster. I mean, just the value of stocks alone. Mm-hmm. The other very important reason is that we don't want to put our hard-earned money into something that's going to make the world uninhabitable for humans and other living things in the future. So it doesn't make sense for people to have their money saved in a fund that's destroying the world. Right. So it's a moral issue as well as a financial issue.
$5 billion in New York City, what is the percentage in terms of investments?
It's only 3% of the total investment. It's very small.
Wow.
Yeah. But there's even less, much, much less invested in renewable energy. Mm. So it's time for these pension funds to really look at what they're supporting and what they're not supporting.
Who decides that?
Well, it depends upon the pension fund. Most of the funds hire outside managers. And those managers are sort of typical business types, typical investors, and some of them are fantastic, but they're very conservative. Their main goal is to maximize returns. Mm-hmm. And that's great. You do want to have a maximized return for the workers. In a city, in a state like New York, both, they're in really good shape. They've been well shepherded over the years, and so we don't need to only have the very, very top returns. We can have a slightly lower return and still do very well for our pension funds. There are some states, some cities that are in much more trouble, and some private pension funds that have a tremendous shakiness to them. So they have to be much more cautious. But we don't have to go for the 10% return annually. We could go for 5% return annually or 7% mm-hmm. return annually and make sure that we're investing in something that's going to be good for our future. Right. Also, we have to remember that money that will be needed to be spent on disaster relief in the future will only increase and will then be burdened through our taxes. So we're going to be, working people are going to be paying for disasters as they increase and as they occur. Mm-hmm. So it makes overall sense to try to minimize climate change, minimize the disasters, because ultimately working people are going to have to pay for them.
This was a successful campaign in New York. Where else has it succeeded?
Well, it hasn't really happened in a lot of big cities. We're really the first big city, which is great. And we're, of course, the largest city, so that mm-hmm. has packs a wallop. Most of the divestment has happened certainly in Europe, not in the Western Hemisphere. It's happened in a lot of universities, but we haven't had big divestment projects in big cities and states in the U.S. But we're working on it, and we're expecting New York State to come online next. There's a big push, and we hope that will happen.
Why New York City?
Well, New York City has a very active community. We have a big climate justice movement here, and it's very collaborative. One of the wonderful things about being an activist in New York City, and this is probably a surprise to many people, is that there's a lot of solidarity. Mm-hmm. People aren't too sectarian or negative about what someone else is doing in their part of the movement. We tend to be pretty collaborative. We have had big coalitions and sets of demands that include the really important things that each of the sub-parts of the movement have been working on. So I think that's been a big thing, a very collaborative movement. And it's great to have progressive leadership. Now, we had a pull in de Blasio, and we certainly had a pull in Stringer.
Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York.
Mayor de Blasio and the controller of New York, Scott Stringer. He's now a big fan. He's gotten religion, which we're very happy about. Thank you. But, you know, we had to pull them all screaming and yelling into the fold. And it was a five-year campaign.
And they were progressive, just to put this in context.
Absolutely.
And political. Of the politicians in New York, they're arguably the most progressive.
Well, I don't know if I go that far, but I would say that they're definitely
in that leadership position.
Absolutely. And certainly among mayors and controllers, I think their hearts are in the right place. But we have to move them. We have to move them not only on divestment, which is good, but we have to move them on a whole lot of other issues. We really need in New York City to deal with the dirty buildings. 70% of the carbon emissions come from buildings in New York City, only 30% from transportation. So in New York City, we've got to retrofit all those big old buildings, including Trump Towers, mm-hmm. you know, that are just belching out all this carbon and making our climate much, much worse.
What is it about the buildings that makes them, is it air conditioning? I mean, I've heard some different campaigns about like air conditioning and heating and how the newer buildings are more efficient. Can you explain it for those who don't understand, including myself?
Well, it's exactly as you said. It's heating and air conditioning. The needs are very great, right? On the other hand, the systems that they use are very inefficient. They're old mm-hmm. systems. There are huge amounts of leaks in the systems. And I think anyone who lives in New York City and knows anyone who lives in one of the old buildings knows that in the dead of winter, you're opening up all the windows because there's much too much heat.
Including myself.
Yeah, when my kids were little and we used to visit my mom in one of those apartments, they would strip down to their underwear in the dead of winter because it was horribly hot. She always had the windows open.
Yep.
So that is not sensible. That kind of thing needs to be changed. We need to have windows that will seal in the warmth. We need to have new heating and air conditioning systems. We also need to use less. We have to learn how to cut back, and that's something that very few politicians
put a sweater on, like
exactly
Jimmy
like
Carter
Jimmy Carter
said.
Absolutely, put the sweater on. But you have to have systems that work. I know in public housing, for example, they have terrible problems of heating. Not enough heating. Too much heating. You know, the design of those old buildings are very bad for airflow. So there's a lot that can be done. We have some new technologies. Mm-hmm. And one of the great things about that is that we will need many, many more workers. We'll have many more jobs. I personally would like to see those jobs be in the public sector and have those workers be union members and have decent salaries and conditions. That's what I'm hoping for.
So there's real estate is big. It's a big industry in New York. Mm-hmm. It's a big obstacle to a lot of progress.
Absolutely.
But let's break it down. You know, NYCHA, the New York Housing Authority, is, I think I read a statistic, it's 1 out of 9 New Yorkers lives in NYCHA, and if NYCHA were a city, it'd be bigger than Boston. Mm-hmm. Something along the lines. To give, put that in context. These buildings are ill-equipped. They're leaking, you know, everything, as you said. That's the public money. And then you have the private side. You have all these developers who've bought out, you know, the Michelinas and the old co-ops, and obviously they're building more and more. What are the obstacles to both of those paths right now?
Well, I mean, you know, it's the real estate board of New York. That's the big obstacle. You know, they have a huge amount of revenue. They have a huge amount of power. They don't want to spend a dime. And if they have to spend a dime, they want to pass it off to their tenants. And, of course, in New York City, we have a lot of tenants that really can't afford it. They're rent-controlled, rent-regulated, and, of course, public housing. But that's publicly owned. Mm-hmm. There needs to be legislation that requires it. It's not enough to say, well, you know, I don't have the money for it. We have to get the money. I mean, that's part of the problem, and I think this is one of the big barriers, is Cuomo has to get the New York State legislature to allow increased taxing of the wealthy in New York City. Mm-hmm. That's how we can get the money to do a lot of this retrofitting, to do a lot of the resilience that we need to do, and to move to 100% renewable energy grid that will be publicly owned. That's the only way we're going to really get what we need. If we develop, when we're looking at the systems that will be needed for 100% renewable energy, which everybody agrees we must have, and we must have it quickly. If we're going to look at the models that are out there for services, let's take a look at healthcare, which is privatized, right? Mm-hmm. It's totally inefficient. It doesn't serve people's needs. It only makes profits. That's the purpose of the healthcare system, right? We don't want that. So we have to get rid of the privatization of the new renewable energy system. It needs to be publicly owned and operated, mm-hmm. and it's going to need a lot of government subsidy. And the way that we're going to be able to do this is by taxing the rich. They are not leaving New York City. We're in a great position. There are so many cities that are not in this position. We are in this position. Governor Cuomo has to really release the right for New York City to tax the wealthy. So that's really important for us, because it's very hard to make the changes that we need without that tax base.
Mm-hmm. This is the millionaire's tax you're talking about.
Millionaire's
that's been proposed
tax,
by
absolutely.
Mayor de Blasio as well.
Yeah.
And, of course, Senator Bernie Sanders has championed it. It'd be interesting to see where the rest of, you know, Senator Gillibrand and has been coming out and proposing, you know, workers' programs and Medicare for All. Interesting to see where she stands on that as well, because Governor Cuomo's up for re-election. So,
well, I think it's great. You know, these politicians are saying all sorts of good things, but it's really up to the people to organize, right, to create those mass movements, to put the pressure on them and let them know that they will be out of office unless they do what the people want them to do. And I think that, you know, we're seeing more and more activism. I think the young folks coming out of Parkland and all the young people all over working on gun control are articulating a new movement that that has people first. And I couldn't be happier about it. We need that infusion of great ideas and energy and commitment.
What's next for the Divest campaign? You know, Bill McKibben, Naomi Klein, these are big vocal proponents of divesting. Where's the next city in the U.S. that seems most likely to happen?
I would guess the two big cities will be San Francisco and Boston.
Boston, really?
Yeah. There's been a lot of union action both in Boston and in San Francisco to start resolutions in a range of union locals, mm-hmm. to push for divestment. So I think it's where you see the push.
Right.
That that it ultimately gives way. Stringer, Controller Stringer, and a bunch of other people from the city, from New York City, are going to be doing a webinar explaining why it's fiscally the right thing to do to divest. And that they will, you know, show the facts and figures and have investment analysts there. And they're going to be opening the door to divestment, which I think is absolutely wonderful. It's when you get religion, you know, for it's divestment, it's a beautiful thing. So they're going to be pushing this, and I think it's going to open the door for the activists in these cities and states that are already organizing to be able to say to their elected officials, you know, others have done this, you can do this too. We've got to get out of the business of supporting fossil fuels, and we've got to make them a pariah industry. We have to shut them down, basically. There's just absolutely not going to be mass use of fossil fuels if we expect to survive. There'll always be some need for fossil fuels, but they have plenty in reserve. We don't have to create any more, and we don't have to create infrastructure to carry all these fossil fuels all over the country and all over the world. We have to end that now.
What I think is really interesting about this campaign in particular, especially hearing that a lot of the organizing is coming from union halls in Boston, is that traditionally, it's been very unfortunate, the workers' movement has kind of been at odds against the climate movement because of the threat of losing jobs, for one big reason. I mean, we saw it with fracking. I think a lot of that has been worked out, but maybe not. Where do you see?
Well, I think that there's many sectors of the labor movement. Unfortunately, the labor movement is weak to begin with. So given that it's been weak, and it's now in the public sector, unions are now fighting this Janus case that would undermine union membership in public unions. So that's a big problem. And the real wages of workers in unions have actually been going down, along with all the other workers in the United States. So union power is weak, weaker than it should be and that it has been in the past. On the other hand, there are many sectors of the union movement and of workers, fossil fuel workers, obviously, they want to keep their jobs. But they're in a very small number. And actually, there will be many more jobs that will be created in the renewable energy economy. And that's what we have to focus on. We also need to get those fossil fuel workers other jobs that are also good paying jobs and that have good benefits. And we have to retire out those ones and give them full pension rights, you know, a little earlier so that they will be okay with leaving. We don't want to leave the stranded assets of good workers who have devoted themselves, you know, to providing energy for our country. So I think it's important to honor those workers, get them other jobs, retrain them, get them early pensions, but to get off fossil fuels, and especially to absolutely stop the building of infrastructure. It does not make any sense to use a dime of money to develop an infrastructure for an area of energy that's going to go down soon.
So, on that note.
Yeah. And then there are all these, you know, the National Nurses Union and teachers. I mean, there are a lot of unions out there that see the results every day. They see kids with asthma. They see people with all sorts of respiratory diseases. They take care of the people in the disasters. They see the effects of climate change.
Right.
And they want to see that shifted.
Well, it's definitely picking up the pace. I mean, I think they're, especially with young people, I find it refreshing to see how many are interested in the divestment movement. And you've done great work. Congratulations on New York.
Thank you. It was done with a very big team.
yes, but you are a key part of it. So we'll keep watching, and hopefully this will spread like wildfire across the states and the world.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy.